Our scripture today is from Psalm 130. You're welcome to follow along in your pew Bible if you would like. Before we get into this, let's pray. Lord, we thank you. We thank you that you are with us, that you show us grace in abundance, and then in this very moment, in hearing your word read, that we are receiving your grace, that your Holy Spirit is working in our hearts and in our mind to open us and to shape us to what it is that you want us to receive. And we pray for your continued grace and mercy upon the expounding of the word, that it too is used for your glory and yours alone. We thank you for this love, and we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, so that you may be revered. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is great power to redeem. It is he who will redeem Israel from all its iniquities. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Jake, have you heard this psalm before? Once or twice. This particular psalm is in our the United Methodist Book of Worship Pocket Edition. Well, I mean, it's also in the desk edition, you know, the bigger one. But it's in the Pocket Edition. It's in our funeral services. I've said this particular psalm near 100 times, but it's one that is quite special to me. And I think, for me, it speaks volumes. Before we get into that particular psalm itself, I want to talk more about psalms for a moment. The book of Psalms is a wonderful, wonderful book. In some ways, I see psalms as kind of like the church's diary or journal. It expressed within, it has 150 chapters. All the chapters are different psalms that different people have written throughout the history of Israel. And they convey so many different things. If you want happy, you'll find happy. If you want praise, you'll find praise. If you need to commiserate with someone who is longing for something, you'll find that there in Psalms. If you're angry about something and you just want something cathartic, you'll find that in Psalms. If you're doubting, if you're yearning, if you're hoping, if you're shameful, Psalms. Psalms really, in so many wonderful, beautiful ways, helps to encapsulate all the experiences of the church. People yearning for God, seeking God, wanting God, hoping for God, doubtful of God. Psalms 130, which we read today, does that also quite nicely. Now, when I read 130, I've got to say, I'm reminded of the 1950s church. Now, I will also say that I don't actually have any personal memories of the 1950s church, but it does remind me of the caricature that I have learned about the 1950s church. When oftentimes thinking about the 1950s, 40s, around their church, it is referred to as the church in its heyday, or the golden age of Christianity in the United States. I will also appreciate that as I'm saying this, some of you are nodding your head. So at least I'm not way out in left field. The church back in the 1950s was it. It was in many ways the center of the culture and the community and the social ladder. If you wanted to know what was going on in the community, you went to church. If you wanted to run for office, you went to church. If you wanted to be the center of your community for whatever reason, you went to church. If you wanted to hear the gossip of what was going around in the community, you went to church. Everything that was happening, the church was its hub. And the pictures that I've seen in the 1950s church, I think, can be summed up with probably one word, hats. There were so many hats in that day. Why did you all stop wearing hats? You can wear hats. It won't bother me. You want to wear a big white hat to church? That's fine. All I ask is be mindful of the person behind you who may not be able to see. Hats and three-piece suits. In fact, from the 1950s, we got a term that was coined then. You may know it. Sunday's best. Familiar with that term, Sunday's best? Sunday's best was the best clothes that you had on you, in your possession, you would wear to church. It was a sign of respect for God. That you would wear your absolute best as a way to offer the best to God. And there were certain understandings about how church worked when you got there. You smiled. You were polite. Kids were quiet. 1950s church. When I think of 1950s church, I don't think of the church today. It's quite different. When I think of 1950s church and the church of today together, I think of a movie. Now I'm going to be wrong on this, and some of you can Google and check me. 84, 86, movie with John Lithgow and Kevin Bacon. Footloose. Love Footloose. Such a great film. They did a remake of it. It's all right. The original is where it's at. In this movie, there's a small town out in the Midwest, very small conservative town, that banned dancing and rock and roll music and drinking. And they had good reason, too. There were some teenagers that in the town's estimation, due to rock and roll music and dancing and drinking, died in a car accident. So the town reacted to this, and they banned it all. So you weren't allowed to do it here. And at the center of this policy was the church. And at the center of the church was John Lithgow, the local pastor. John Lithgow and the church had a lot of influence and power in this town, and by extension, the pastor did also. In walks this young kid, 18 years old. The actor himself was about 20, 21 years old, Kevin Bacon. Kevin Bacon came, Wren came from a city, and in that city, he had a fondness and a love for rock and roll music. He connected with it. It helped him in many ways in his life, include healing from being estranged from his father. And so he would play it, and he got in lots of trouble for it. Well, he tried to change the policy to hold a dance. Spoiler alert, he fails. But that's okay. What in the course of the movie, he makes a friend, and that friend is Ariel. Ariel is the pastor's daughter. Now, I've done enough background. Bring you up to this scene. In the scene, John Lithgow, the pastor, is standing at the pulpit, and he's preaching. But he's working on his sermon. Ariel walks in while he's reading his sermon, and she's sitting there watching her father deliver the word of God. In that moment, right there, daughter, father, 1950s church. But the big transition is about to happen. They have an argument. In that argument, she recognizes or conveys to him that she's not the nice girl that he thinks she is. In fact, he's, even though present, has been disconnected from her for a while now. that she's done things that he would not be proud of and that she is not so proud of. And she confesses these things within the walls of the church, yelling out quite loudly what it is that she has done. And his response to her, you don't say those kinds of things here. This is the house of God. This is the church. 1950s church, she just didn't. There were some things you should never say at church. There were some things that you did Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday that you did not do at church. You wore your Sunday best. You wore your smile. Everything was hunky-dory, even if you had to push the bad stuff down for a moment. Pastor of 1950s church wore a collar and a robe. The collar and robe signified to the congregation that that pastor was fit to be where they were. You know what a robe does? It covers you. You know what a robe doesn't do? Change you. All a robe does is just change your outward appearance so that when people look at you, they find someone more respectable. Even a bathrobe does that. You cover your nakedness, so if guests come, they don't see that part of you. Just see the robe. 1950s church, as a criticism of it, was all about the covering. If there were bad things happening in your life, you don't talk about it. You just come to church, praise God for your hour, go home, and then deal with it. Ariel standing up, saying all these things, confessing to her father and to God. After her father said, you don't say those things here. She said, why not? This is church. Isn't this where I'm supposed to confess my sins? Psalm chapter 1, out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. The beautiful thing that I love about this psalm is that it recognizes the reality, and that reality is that when we cry for help, we're usually not in a pretty place. That when we seek God, we are not in a clean place. We're not in the golden palace. We don't have the white drapery. Our world's falling apart. We're in the pit. We're in the depths. Genesis chapter 2, one of my favorite and probably in some ways my theological center. When God was forming Adam, which in Hebrew literally means mud man, when God was forming Adam in the ground, he didn't say, Adam, rise. He got down. The word form in Hebrew is the same word they use for forming pottery. He got down in the mud, in the dirt, and he got his hands dirty because that's where Adam was. Jesus, when God decided to save the world through his son Jesus Christ, went down to the depths in the pit where the people were. Didn't wait for them to come up to where God was. Met them in the muck and in the mire because that's where we are. That's where we cry for help. And God met us there. God meets us there. I appreciate looking out and seeing you. If you are the kind of person that wears a hat and a three-piece suit, even if it's together, I love you. Jesus loves you. That's where we are. Church is not just the place we come to on a Sunday and forget all of our ills. Pretend that they're not there. Church is the place where we are. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, where God is whispering to us in the midst of our journey, whether it is on solid ground or waist-deep mud, holding on to us and saying, I love you, and I'm not letting go. out of the depths, I cry to you. But there is forgiveness with you so that you may be revered. Israel, hope in the Lord. Through Israel, us. It is God who will redeem Israel, us, from all its iniquities. Church is about pretending all is well. Church is about knowing all isn't, and that God is working. Thank God for that. I thank God that Christ is with us always. Even getting dirty himself, pulling us up out of the muck and the mire. I'll leave you with this final benediction. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Go in peace.